Can we have spinach? That was Kevin's question, my son, when he was 4 years old. Why? Because he loved watching Popeye the Sailor Man. And Popeye would, you know, down a couple of cans of spinach, and then he would have superhuman power. And my son believed that, and he wanted to try that. And so one night, Diane cooked spinach, and Kevin took a big bite. See, you already know. And Kevin, after he took a big bite of spinach and swallowed it, he took a really large drink of his milk. And he goes, okay, I'm going to see if it works. And he was sitting at the end of the table, and he puts his arms underneath the kitchen table and tries to lift the whole kitchen table. What Kevin didn't notice is that Diane and I also had our arms underneath the table, and we lifted the table. His eyes got so big, he thought, I'm lifting the table. And so he set the table down, and Diane said, do you want to take another bite of spinach? And so he looked at the spinach, looked at the glass of milk, looked at the spinach and glass of milk, and he said, I'm going to need more milk first. We had given him the false confidence that spinach made him instantly strong. He had a false confidence. There are times that we have false confidence. We think, I can do anything. I'm pretty tough, and I can, and we think we have confidence in ourselves. But what we're talking about today is different than that. See, when it comes to taking risks, risks for things that are out of our comfort zone, we get nervous. We want somebody else to take the first step. We want somebody else. I mean, there's a part of us that wants to do it, but then we get somebody else to do it. That was Diane. Diane always wanted to do these brave things, but she would talk her sister into doing it. One time, they had been swimming, and they were walking home, and there was a culvert underneath the road that was full of water. And she said, she, you know what she wanted to do? Swim through that culvert all the way to the other side of the road. It was completely full of water. So you couldn't get up in the middle if you needed air. And so she talked her sister Lori into doing it. And as she was doing it, Diane got kind of nervous. It was like, what if she doesn't make it? You know, it'll be all my fault. And her sister made it to the other side. How good are you at taking risks? And there's a part of us, when I talk about that, there's a part of that, a part of you that starts coming alive. There's a part of you that realizes there's more in you that you haven't tapped yet. You know you've got this potential that maybe someday you could take a risk and you could do something amazing. But right now I'm a little afraid. Have you felt like that? And so what we want to do this morning is take a look at God's Word and allow God to call out of you that part of you that wants to take a risk and wants to do something amazing. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell others, to tell the rulers and other believers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you that will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. Make your word come alive in your followers this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the first thing Jesus said in that passage? First thing he said is look. Look. Pay attention to this. Other translations said, listen, behold, stay alert. Stay alert. And as I read that, I thought of this clip from an old TV show. I don't know if you remember this show. We need audio on this.
All right. Item 14. Still got a gang of juveniles.
This is Hill Street Blues from back in the day.
Social security checks.
So how about let's give that situation a little extra effort?
All right, that's it. Let's roll. Hey.
Let's be careful out
here. Hey. Phil Esterhaus in that show would always say, hey. Let's be careful out there. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in this passage. As we're taking a look, hey, pay attention to this. That's what Jesus is saying. So, okay, we need that to understand what he's saying is really important. Then he goes on, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. And so what's our response? Understand you are at risk. I wonder how many of his disciples were like, I don't know if you know this, Jesus, but like, wolves eat sheep? Do you understand that? Because we're vulnerable. And he points that out. Yes, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Do you know what's worse than being at risk? Being at risk and not knowing that you're at risk. Jesus said, you understand, you're at a risk. You're just a sheep and there are wolves around you. There's a TV show called Dirty Jobs, and Mike Rowe does all these crazy things. And he did this one where he was on top of the Mackinac Bridge. And I don't remember if they were changing light bulbs or painting or whatever they were doing. But at some point, he unclicked from his harness, and he didn't click in. And there was about 15 minutes, he was up on the very top of the Mackinac Bridge without the harness. And he clicked back in later, and they checked the film, and they're like, look, that whole section, he was without his harness. Why was he at risk? He was at risk. He didn't realize the risk he was under. We need to be aware that we're at a risk. We're at a risk. So what do we do? What we're supposed to do is Jesus wants us to cower over in the corner and get in the fetal position and whine and cry. Thank you. Not. No. No. He has something, because he is going to work. When we're at a disadvantage, he works. Armin Geswin said this, when God is about to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. You have a difficulty in your life? God can do something great. But Armin goes on, when he is about to do something truly magnificent, he starts with an impossibility. You got any impossibilities in your life? That's when God shines. That's when God shines. When there's an impossibility, when we look at something and we say there's no possible way that that's ever going to happen, God goes, want to bet? So what should we do? What's our role in this? So Jesus goes on. So be as shrewd as snakes. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Snakes have transparent eyelids. Aren't you glad you're not a snake? Close your eyes and it gets dark. That doesn't happen for a snake. A snake closes his eyelids and he can still see. And that's what Jesus was referring to. Always be looking. Keep your eyes open. Be shrewd. You see, our tendency is to, like I mentioned earlier, hide over in the corner in the fetal position. And we like to isolate. We stay away from people that don't agree the same way as we do. And you see somebody in the store and there's like, oh, he's one of them. And they avoid, we avoid people, we isolate, and then we insulate. We stay away from places where there's open dialogue and where people are going to say things I don't like. And we isolate and insulate, but God's plan for us is to infiltrate our culture. And we're going to spend some time next week exploring that, what that looks like. We need to keep our eyes open and be aware of what's going on. We need to be aware of what's going on. I'm going to say something controversial. Are you ready? Watch the news. Now, you need to find a way to watch some reliable news. Mainstream media doesn't tell the truth. I can't believe I have to say that. But for me, it was COVID when I realized that. I would watch these news conferences with people talking. And then I watched the news later on and they said, you know, this argument broke out at the news conference today. And I was like, no, it didn't. No, it didn't. And it was like, that's a bold-faced lie. And they can do that because most people didn't see the news conference like I did. So be aware. Find news sources. Find sources to find out what's going on that's reliable. And we need to be aware of what's going on in our world. Isaiah 44, Isaiah is chastising God's people for making idols out of their firewood. And he was making fun of them. Wait, you guys are so stupid. This is my paraphrase. You guys are so stupid, you take a piece of firewood and you carve an idol out of it and you bow down and worship it. Why would you do such a thing? And in verse 19 of Isaiah 44, he diagnoses, why do people do that? No one stops to think. No one stops to think. Now, we think that's ridiculous, making an idol out of a piece of wood. We don't do that, do we? No, we use silicone and plastic, and we put them in our pocket, and we worship those idols. We're so much better. No one stops to think. We run so fast, we're so distracted in our culture. Do you have time in your week when you simply stop and think? And you're quiet and you realize there's a man named Mike Iaconelli. Mike ran an organization called Youth Specialties. He was also a pastor. He did a number of different things, and he was busy. He's an author. He was famous. And Mike went to this getaway retreat. And the guy who was running it, it was people with special needs, and he would pair these people coming in with a person with special needs. And so they would go into this spiritual retreat time, and these two people would be together. And Mike was assigned with a guy. And so, you know, when Mike introduced himself, he said, I'm in this project, and all this stuff. And Mike said, people with special needs don't understand personal space. And so this young man was right in his face. And he simply said, really busy, huh? Yeah, you're just really busy and really stressed and all these things. And he said, the guy just looked at him and said, why? And that question hit Mike right between the eyes, and he broke down and wept. And God began at that point to do a real work in Mike. And Mike became a different person. He became a person who, instead of zip, 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 running all over the place doing stuff, learned to meditate on God's word. And God did a work in him. Why? Because he learned to stop and think. We need that. One reason we end up with error in our lives is because we don't stop and think. And then, I didn't know how to say this, so I kind of made up a word. I think it might be a word. Be unnaive. Be unnaive. Naive means to be simple and clueless. And when I say simple and clueless, you thought of somebody, didn't you? Was it me? No. You thought of somebody in that moment. This simple-minded is clueless. Proverbs 14:15 says, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. That's what we need to do. Don't be simple. If you want to understand what simple is, read through the book of Proverbs. There's a number of passages in Proverbs that talks about the simple. Don't be simple. Don't believe everything. Jesus said, be as shrewd as snakes. That's what's involved in that. Infiltrating our culture. Be aware of what's going on. Stop and think. And don't be simple. Be unnaive. And then Jesus goes on. And be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Now, Jesus didn't mention an eagle or a snake. Or an eagle or a hawk. I saw this hawk. It's the most amazing thing. It comes in. It must be doing 70 miles an hour. And it just comes in and it hits a small animal and just knocks the thing over. You can hardly see. It just comes flying, bam, knocks that thing down and then comes back. Sometimes it kills it. It hits it so hard or just knocks it out and then it devours that animal. Hawks are crazy. You ever seen, you know, the hawk come down? Oh, wow. Jesus didn't say be as harmless as hawks or eagles. He said dove. Chicago, their football team, is that the Chicago Doves? Is there any NFL team called the Doves? Ben, any Doves? It's not really a vicious animal. Oh, yeah. We're the Minnesota Doves. Coo, coo. That's our fight song. No, Jesus didn't want us to come in armed for battle. See, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything begins to look like a nail. You know what I mean? Do you know people like that? Boom, everything, bam, bam. It's like, ugh. Jesus said, no, everything that's going on, but be harmless as doves. Here's the point. Stay out of attack mode. Stay out of attack mode. And then he goes on, but beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. That's just a crazy thing. What we're going to do at the end of the service, we're just going to line you all up and we're going to have people flog you before you leave. Isn't that crazy? Wait, in the synagogue? What? You're going to? Yes. You'll flog with whips in the synagogues because they think they're worshiping God by attacking you. You will stand before the governors and kings because you are my followers. Be prepared to be attacked. Not only be a dove, be ready to be attacked. Prepare yourself for that. Not by being bitter and angry, but by being unflappable, resilient, and calm. When the devil ignores you, then you know you're doing something wrong. When the devil comes at you, maybe it's because you're doing something right. So let me ask you a question. Where do you live? We forget this. Where do you live? Let me tell you where you live. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. This is not our home. There was a missionary and his wife years ago that returned. They retired. They spent their entire working career in Africa as missionaries. And they came home on a ship, and it was the ship that Teddy Roosevelt came back from Africa on, and he had been hunting game over there, and there was all these people there to welcome back Teddy and everything, and there was nobody there. Here's this couple that had given their lives as missionaries, and they come back, and there was nobody there to meet them. And they went, and they rented a small flat, and the husband was pretty angry. He said, it's not right. It's not right. It's not fair. We gave our lives. Nobody was there to meet us. And his wife said, well, why don't you go in the bedroom and tell God about it? And he did. And he spent some time there, and he came back into the living room. And the wife could tell he was different. And she said, what did God tell you? And he simply said, God said, you're not home yet. We're not home yet. This is not our home. This is not our home. You ever feel like, I don't fit here? Yeah. You know why? You don't. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. We're going to get bumps and bruises. Jesus said that. He sent us out as what? Sheep among wolves. It's going to be challenging. Be prepared to be attacked. And Jesus goes on. But this will be your end, and then it will be over. No, he says, this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers of other believers about me. Being attacked is not a bug, it's the feature. Being attacked is not the problem, it's the plan. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We need to live with a confident attitude because of God's help. If God is in charge, then an attack is an opportunity to display his power. God is in charge, and so any attack is an opportunity to display God's power. The question is, do you trust God? See, when Diane and I tricked Kevin with the spinach, he thought he was strong. We tricked him. Turns out, who was strong? Diane and I. It's the same thing with God. God is the one that is your strength. Do you trust him? Let me tell you about Fred. Fred said, I don't see anything in my life right now that shows me that God cares for me. I don't feel anything that shows me that he loves me. Let me tell you about the situation Fred was in. You ever felt like Fred did? Fred was talking to his son, Russ, as they sat in a hospital parking garage. They were talking about Fred's son, Ryan, Russ's younger brother, and the disease that had overtaken him. And Russ was surprised that his dad would say such a thing. He said it was unsettling. Because Fred had said, I don't see anything in my life right now that shows that God cares for me. I don't feel anything that shows that he loves me. I don't feel anything that shows that he loves me. There was a long pause. And then Fred went on. But I know he does. Russ told me this afterwards. I knew then and there that my dad's faith was deep and that he was relying on the truth of Scripture rather than solely on the experience at that moment. I'll never forget that. What a lasting impression he gave me. And then he says, Ryan died on Sunday, June 11th, 1989. God's not done there. Then 22 years later, Russ shared this with me. He says this, a note of praise and healing for me and hopefully for my family. This Friday, we are adopting Ryan Phillips, who has been with us as a foster child for over 2 years now. You can't make this stuff up. Amazingly, he was born the same day of the year that my brother Ryan died. We are changing his name to Ryan Philip Huntsberger. When we first met him, the doctor said there was nothing more they could do for him, and they placed a DNR on him, a do not resuscitate. He will celebrate his third birthday on June 11th, and the doctors are saying that no one could have ever predicted the progress he is making. The faith that Fred had gave confidence to his son. And God has done amazing things. Let me tell you more about Fred. And Fred and Elaine, his wife. In the years after Diane died, I was a part of a grief share group. Guess who it was led by? Fred and Elaine. They are wonderful people. And they ministered to my heart. To my life. God, horrible situation, and you may feel like, oh, there's no way God can use this for good, but he does. He does. And you can walk through difficulty, you can walk through attack, you can walk through that like that, shoulders slumped. No, you can walk through difficulty with confidence because you know God is going to use that. Yes, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and live with confidence because of God's power in your life. Would you stand with me? And as we close, I just want you to spend some time with God right now. Surrender control of your life. Surrender control of your life. Take your hands, your white knuckles off the steering wheel, and let Jesus take control. Surrender control of your life. Now yoke yourself with Jesus. You're in one side of the yoke. You have things that you need to do, but let Jesus do the heavy lifting. See yourself as yoked with Jesus. Walk in obedience. Walk in confidence. Father, thank you that we don't walk alone. Father, thank you that you knew what's going to happen before it happens and that you have prepared us. Father, we want to see you work in and through our lives. And so we commit ourselves right here and now to be faithful, to be obedient, to be bold for you so that you can work and change others through our obedience. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and then through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.